supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Pastor Billy Crone. And we're going to be talking about the prophetic events that are taking place today. And basically, I believe we are living in the latter days. There's so many things that are happening. And if you haven't seen Pastor Billy's Sydney series on the Final Countdown, you want to get that. And he has so many other tape sets. And I don't know which one we're going to be covering tonight. What are we going to be covering, Pastor Billy?
I'd like to talk one more time about the rise of wickedness, if we could.
All right, fine. Well, boy, we sure have the rise of wickedness in America today, but you go right ahead.
Yeah, it's, no further than just turn your TV set. You know, if you turn your TV set, you can deal with what's going on with the Middle East and all the things going over there, and not only with Iran, but, of course, with Israel and the ongoing peace in the Middle East. That's a sign we're in the last days, and God's given us much of that information with the Jewish people. We deal with that. You take a look at the modern technology all over the planet. That's predicted Daniel chapter 12 in the last days. You look at the planet with the worldwide upheaval, the increase of earthquakes, famines and pestilence and wars and strange events in the sky and the atmosphere. That's a sign you're in the last days. You look at the rise of falsehood. You got all of a sudden this influx of false Christ, false teachers, and all kinds of false myths and false prophets and all kinds of stuff. And then, of course, the Bible says, well, not only that, when you start to see the planet get extremely wicked, I mean, we've always had some wickedness, but when you see it get really bad, that's a sign you're in the last days. And this is what the Bible clearly says. Just turn your TV, folks, not only with what's going on in Israel, in the Middle East, but when you see all these news reports of the murders and the drugs and the killings and the just people, even when they go into the courtroom, how many times do we say you were, like, so shocked at this culture? We're going, like, did you see that? The guy had no remorse. He didn't even shed a tear over what he did and the murder and all those people. That's a sign you're living the last day. And the Bible talks about that. 2 Timothy chapter 3 says, but mark this, there's going to be terrible times in the last days. People are going to be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful and proud and abusive and disobedient to their parents and ungrateful and unholy, without love and unforgiving and slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And if you're paying attention there, every single one, not half of them, not 75%, 100%, every single one of those characteristics that Paul described as to why the last days are so terrible is our society today. And part of the reason, folks, that it's getting out of control and it's going to get worse, we ain't seen nothing yet, is because the Bible also says what is helping to spur on this wicked society is not only just wicked teaching and things of that nature. You got atheism, and you got humanism, and you got selfism, and you got hedonism. You got all these isms that's encouraging this behavior. But believe it or not, it's actually from chemicals. It's from drug usage. And believe it or not, the Bible specifically called this out. It explains why things are getting evil, so evil, to where people today, because of drug usages, are eating each other's faces off with the bath salts. We've seen that recently, speaking about the news. And but it's also going to be a major sign during the last days. The Bible called it out that when you see all these drug problems, drug lords, and things of that nature, you're in the last days. And this is in the book of Revelation chapter 9. And it says, the rest of mankind that were not killed by these plagues, they still did not repent of the work of their hands. They didn't stop worshiping demons and idols, and they didn't repent of their murders, their magic arts, or their immorality, or their theft. And what we're going to see is the word that's used there for magic arts is actually where we get the word drug or drug use from. And that's a sign, folks, that we're in the last days. It's happening right now.
It sure is. And, well, just hang on there. We're going to be back in just a moment. Our guest is Pastor Billy Crone. And basically, we're talking about the truly prophetic times that we're living in today. We'll be back in just a moment with Pastor Crone.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
You may have heard about the 90 essential nutrients or the Mighty 90 needed for good health. But with all the products out there, what exactly are they talking about? The Mighty 90 is 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 60 plant-derived minerals, and 2 essential fatty acids. So, now you know. But with all the products you see and hear advertised, what exactly do you buy to come up with the Mighty 90 and the right ratios to promote good health? Youngevity has made it easy with the Healthy Start Pack, which contains one canister of Beyond Tangy Tangerine vitamin and plant-derived mineral complex, one bottle of bone and joint-enriching OsteoFX Plus, and one bottle of EFA Plus essential fatty acids, all in the proper ratios to promote good health and vitality. For more information or to order, call 1-800-991-8730. That's 1-800-991-8730 and ask about business opportunities.
Disaster can strike at any time. That's why Americans spend billions on insurance policies. But what about investing into disaster preparedness supplies, especially food? After Hurricane Sandy, people waited weeks for help to arrive. Be prepared for anything with Mountain House freeze-dried foods, the finest in the industry, packed in heavy-duty double-enameled number 10 cans with over 99% of the oxygen removed for the longest shelf life of any product available. And the taste, absolutely delicious. Entrees, meats, vegetables, fruits, and desserts made in the USA. Just add hot water, wait 10 minutes, and serve. Save 25% on Mountain House No. 10 cans, April 2nd through the 8th, with free shipping to the lower 48 states. Visit freezedryguy.com. That's freezedryguy.com. Or call 866-404-3663. 866-404-3663. Get 25% off April 2nd through the 8th. Act today. Don't miss out.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Pastor Belli is saying that certainly prophesied there's going to be certainly an excessive amount of drug use so that people will not be able to think or think clearly. And, of course, we see increased use of drugs. So many of our young people are on drugs of one sort or another, and even many of the things that are prescribed by the doctors, the Ritalin and the Prozac and Luvox and all of these psychotropic drugs do have a profound impact, as well as certainly the cocaine and the marijuana and all of the other things that are being used. You go right ahead, Pastor Belli.
Well, and that's just a whole other topic, you know, with some of the latest prescriptions that are out there. You know, and that's, of course, the joke says, you know, you take something to fix a corn on your toe, but then you lose your vision and you get liver disease and you have thoughts of suicide. It's just like, so, I mean, it'd be one thing with the drug use. There's some of the quote-unquote classical drugs that, you know, some people kind of continue to go down that route and become schizophrenic and, you know, can't think straight and they, you know, become a slave to that. But even the prescription drugs today. In fact, what's ironic, there's drugs out there that are supposed to be treating for depression, and yet then they give you thoughts of suicide or a heart attack. It's like, so it's not just illegal drugs, folks. What we're seeing is also the permissive drug, but either one, they mess with you, okay, by and large. And that's what you see. We got drugs problem here. There's drugs raids going on. And this is all across the planet. Drugs in schools, drugs in homes, drugs in the streets. There's drugs in the government. There's drugs all over the world. Okay? In our lifetime, it's gone absolutely ballistic. And it's spawning all kinds of wicked behavior. Okay? In fact, the drugs, they're creating all kinds of new ones. They call them designer drugs. And one of the latest ones is called Crocodile. And it's called that because of what it does to people. It turns their skin greenish and scaly in appearance, you know, like a crocodile, and it eventually causes their blood vessels to rupture, and it kills the surrounding tissue, okay? And so what this does, if you keep using this drug, it starts to create huge chunks of dead flesh on the person's body, you know, kind of like a zombie-type thing. And one person said this, it says, once you're an addict at this level, using this stuff, listen to this, quote, any rational thinking does not apply. Which means, including getting right with God, even though in the midst of being judged by God. Okay. And speaking of zombies and horror flicks, and that seems to be the biggest rage in Hollywood. They're promoting all those movies lately. And of course, there's another one coming out this week with World War Z or something with Brad Pitt, and it's about zombies and stuff like that. And of course, we're thinking like, well, you know, that's just kind of a science fiction thing, and, you know, it's Hollywood glamorizing that. Really, what if the drugs got so bad, including Crocodile and some of these other ones, the ones we haven't seen yet, but they keep mixing, matching, doing all kinds of stuff? And what if it does create some sort of an outbreak like this? I mean, we do have drugs on the planet right now that makes you look like a zombie. A huge chunks of dead flesh. You can't even think straight. There's no rational thinking. And how do we know, folks? Maybe they're preparing us for a future. You go, man, are you serious? Can you imagine if that would actually happen to the planet? Well, yeah, that's why Jesus says you don't want to be in the seven-year tribulation. It's going to be the worst time in the history of mankind. And so maybe, again, maybe Hollywood is preparing us for the future that they know is coming down the pike. But again, you know, I mentioned bath salts. You look at that. It's just, what's that doing on the news? People are eating each other's faces off. Speaking of zombies, okay, it's just absolute unadulterated wicked behavior that this drug usage is continuing to spur on across the world. And experts, and these are secular people, folks, by the way, they're saying it's going to get worse. They're predicting it's going to get worse. You think it's bad now? People eating their faces off, their chunks of their flesh are rotting off their bodies or making them look like a zombie, act like a zombie? You ain't seen nothing yet. And the reason why they say it's going to get out of hand is because of what they're saying is there's a gateway drug out there that helps and encourages people to start using all kinds of other drugs. And, of course, that gateway drug is marijuana. And experts are saying, folks, that if this thing gets legalized, and it's already happening in states, in the United States, that if we ain't seen nothing yet. They are predicting, and this is secular research, they're saying drug usage is going to go nuts because marijuana is a gateway drug. It's going to spawn all kinds of wicked behavior. It's going to encourage all kinds of other kinds of drug usage. And what's crazy is you've got people actually, quote-unquote, in the church who think that legalizing marijuana is a good thing. We exposed this. We actually shared the actual video. And this is a quote from Pat Robertson. And he said, quote, "I became sort of a hero of the hippie culture, I guess, when I said I think we ought to decriminalize possession of marijuana. I just think it's shocking how many of these young people wind up in prison and they get turned into hardcore criminals because they have a possession of a very small amount of controlled substance. I mean, the whole thing's crazy." And, yeah, I agree it's crazy, with all due respect, Pat. But who in the world would have thought that a Christian leader would be promoting the legalization of marijuana? And this is how bad it's getting, folks. And, again, the experts are saying this. Once this happens, okay, if marijuana continues to repeatedly get legalized across the nation, it is a gateway drug, and you're going to have on your hands, listen, a, quote, full-blown, massive drug problem all over the world that you cannot even dream of. And, of course, what's going to come with that is wickedness is going to go ballistic. Do you think it's crazy now? It's nothing. And, again, this is wild because people don't read the Bible. The Bible predicted this would happen 2,000 years ago. You're going to see people refuse to repent of not just their murders, not just their thefts, not just their sexual immorality, but even their pharmakeia. They refuse to repent of the drugs. They won't stop taking them. And this is what we see happening before our very eyes. Okay? And I'd say the other thing that it's leading to is full-blown demonic possession. And again, that text talks about that, and I'll get to that in a second. And the reason why is this has been there, done that before I became a Christian and got saved. And God had mercy on me. I was a part of the drug culture, complete slave to these things, and also was encouraged by the New Age movement that I was involved in, occult stuff, to take these drugs because these will help you to connect, quote-unquote, with the spirit world so that you become an enlightened being, things of that nature. So been there, done that. And I can freely confess that, hey, when you're taking drugs, folks, you're not just having a physical effect. You're having a spiritual effect on your body. And a lot of people say, oh, I'm just taking, you know, just taking a trip, man. Yeah, you're taking a trip, all right. You're taking a spiritual trip. And what you're doing is you're opening up doors. You're getting yourself into an altered state of consciousness, and you're opening your mind up to demonic deception or even demonic possession. Okay? And again, been there, done that. But drugs are not the only way. If you look at the issue, there's many different ways to get yourself into an altered state of consciousness. And again, once you do that, you open up spiritual doors that you don't want to mess with. Okay, other ways that this can happen is through hypnotism. You know, if you go to a psychotherapist or something like that, and you might have some visions. You might have some might think that you lived a past life of Cleopatra, but you're being deceived. It's opening up spiritual doors that need to remain closed, okay? And this is why the Bible forbids these kind of things in Deuteronomy 18. And it's not just because God's trying to rain on a parade. It's because he's trying to protect us. And he says you shouldn't do these things. They're abominations to him. They're going to open up doors of deception. So read the text yourself, Deuteronomy 18. But hypnotism is one of them. Of course, drugs is a classic one that the cult and the occult still use today. You could also get yourself into an altered state of consciousness through repetitive movement. And this is something actually we expose that's starting to come into the church. We deal with that on our Volume 6, the Final Countdown Study, The Rise of Apostasy. But repetitive movement, and this is what you see with the Hindu yogi, and what they encourage people to do is just jumping up and down, you know, just this mindless exercise for a half hour nonstop. Because you might think, well, that's just great exercise, and I'm just getting a runner's high or something like that. No, you're starting to work yourself into an altered state of consciousness. And usually they combine that with also with repetitive speech, okay, at the same time, and it just becomes a mindless activity. And you see the Hare Krishnas do that, and they repeat their mantra over and over and over and over and over again until it literally becomes mindless. And that's the key word, mindless. You are working yourself up into an altered state of consciousness. And we expose this also on our Volume 6, the Revelation Final Countdown Study, in the Rise of Apostasy. You can actually also get yourself into an altered state of consciousness with different body postures and stretches with yoga. Now, this is a huge deception. It's coming to the church. It's absolutely mind-blowing. And the church is denying it. In fact, the church is not just denying it, that there's something spiritual going on when you do yoga. You talk and you interview, and we share the actual interviews of the actual yogis. They admit it, that you are yoking yourself with the Hindu gods, which, of course, are demons. They admit it, but you come over here to the West, and they say, oh, no, it's just for exercise. And they're even promoting churches. They call it, of course, they slap Christianese on it, and then they try to make it better. You know, one church is promoting what's called holy yoga. Excuse me? You forgot two letters, U-N, before holy, unholy yoga. Because yoga, again, means to yoke, okay? It's the body postures, the breathing exercises that are mimicking the Hindu god. You don't want to do it. It's working yourself into an altered state of consciousness. And, of course, again, breathing, exercise, meditation. But all of these folks, including drugs, okay, get you into an altered state of consciousness. And, again, once you do that, you open yourself to demonic spiritual forces to come in and to take control of you, okay? And which leads to the next thing this text says is going to happen in the last days. But it fits hand in hand with this first point of the massive usage of drugs, okay? Drugs, if you continue to do it and you get yourself into an altered state of consciousness, you're going to connect with a demonic entity, okay, and or entities.
And I think it's so vitally important that people understand that these really are not imaginary. There really are demonic forces out there, and of course they're looking for an opening to get into the very heart and mind and soul of people. And once this happens, you know, you'll have a hard time getting away from it. Yes, you can escape it, but you certainly almost need an exorcism or something of that sort. Never open yourself up. It's exciting to do all of these things, but you don't understand the spiritual implications. Well, our guest is, of course, Pastor Billy Crone, and he's trying to warn people that certainly the yoga exercises, we have churches that have these yoga exercises. No, what's wrong with exercise? Well, nothing's wrong with exercise, but yoga is a spiritual experience. And you're open. The whole idea is just simply your mind goes blank. When your mind goes blank, why, there are demonic forces out there that will come in and seize control of you. Understand, ladies and gentlemen, that this is taking place in churches all across America today. We got real problems because so many of our ministers either don't know or they do know and they have certainly a different agenda. We'll be back in just a moment with Pastor Billy Crone right here at Radio Liberty.
Hello, folks. This is Steve Day, the director of Home for Health Lifestyle Center. And over the past years, we have been blessed by witnessing folks plagued by chronic illnesses gain restoration and get back their health after coming through our live-in Christian health retreat. Today, sickness and disease is everywhere. cancer, MS, diabetes, and chronic diseases plague us. But there is hope, and Home for Health can help. We're here to help you in your time of need, and we would encourage you to go to the Home for Health website, www.homeforhealth.net. That's www.homeforhealth.net. Or you can call us today at 888-642-9644. That's 888-642-9644. Call Home for Health today and start your healing journey now.
Home for Health, truly do what we sell. Being free of diseases, real well. Home for Health.
Americans love pills. America's 40 million seniors will have consumed 1.6 trillion pills during their lifetime, not counting vitamin pills. This is health journalist Bill Sardi. Americans are living longer an additional 18 years after they reach age 65. How will senior Americans spend that time? You've got it. Taking more and more pills to treat more and more disease. We need a better approach. How about a pill that promotes health rather than treats disease? That's where a pill I formulated comes in. It's called Longevinix, and it's a well-tested combination of herbs and vitamins proven to trigger genes activated by a limited-calorie diet, even mimicking physical exercise. Longevinix promotes healthy vision, heart pumping, immune response, blood clotting, and even mood. Call 1-866-405-4000 to order today. Healthy aging. Longevinix. Get started before you grow old. Call now. 1-866-405-4000.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Do you enjoy cooking? Would you like to learn the culinary secret that Barbara uses to enhance the flavor of Dr. Stan's food? Who's Barbara? She's Dr. Stan's wife. And what's her secret? She uses the delicious spices produced by Old Westport Spice and Trading Company. After using and enjoying their products for almost 20 years, Dr. Stan and Barbara decided they should offer their favorites to you. If you would like to please your family and enhance the flavor of your food, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. I suggest you call today. Once again, the telephone number is 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Pastor Billy is making the point that so an awful lot of people really don't believe in Satan. They don't believe in demons. They think that this is all just theoretical, but ladies and gentlemen, Pastor Billy has seen them. I've seen manifestations of the supernatural. There is another, certainly, dimension out there, and you don't want to get into it. Certainly, we live in a visible world, but there's an invisible world. We live in a tangible world, but there's an intangible world. And certainly, the last thing you want to do, you need to know what's there, but you certainly don't want to try to access it or leave yourself open so that it can access you. Go right ahead, Pastor Billy.
Yeah, and it's just something that, man, I just, again, I've been there, done that. It's just, folks, it's just so deceptive. And you know, I think part of it, what snookers people into it is just certainly with the lack of direction and lack of truth. But also is, you know, it's, a lot of kids are seduced into it, but even adults, because of the seduction of power. And there is something that begins to take place, but what happens is, like when I was about 17 years old, I remember in my bedroom, and because this is what the music told me to do, and basically having no hope, no direction in life. Nobody was telling me about the good news of Jesus Christ and having a relationship with God and that you forgive me of all my sins, no matter what you've done. And nobody was telling me that, so I'm all by myself, lost. Life is hopeless. I've been told by the school that there is no special reason for my existence. That did not come from God. I came from the cosmic goo. I came from an ape. I came from the goo to the zoo to me and you, and we wonder why everybody's so hopeless, and there's so much suicide. Like, what's there to live for? And so I'm going through all this, and I remember at our home back in Kansas, being up there on the second story window, looking out the yard, and I did what the music I was listening to told me to do, and that I made a pact with Satan, and said that he can have this life, and that if he would just give me power and significance and things of that nature. And to show you what kind of a character he was, folks, and is that after I did that, within 3 months, I had tried to kill myself three different times. Twice I tried to OD with pills. Once I still have the scars to prove it. Shot myself in the chest with a .22 rifle. And just a horrible, horrible time, and God had mercy on me. But that's who you're messing with. These guys, the Bible says that the enemy, Satan, he's coming to, and he comes to kill and to steal and to destroy. You think you're making a deal with him? Don't make a deal with the devil. He is about deceiving you, because ultimately he wants you dead. He wants to kill you. He wants to murder you. He wants to murder you, hopefully, before you ever find out about Jesus, because that way you will join him forever in the lake of fire. That's what he's all about. He knows his gig's up. He knows that Jesus Christ defeated him on the cross. He knows that his destiny is the lake of fire. He is doomed with the Antichrist and the false prophet. The Bible is very clear about that. He knows that. And so the Bible says he's so evil that he's seeing how many people he can take down with him. The Bible actually has two different words, Greek words for bad or evil. And the first one is kakos, and it literally means just like, just general moral evil. Let me give you an analogy. It would be like if a guy goes into a convenience store to rob it, and he points the guy, but the cashier, he pushes a button. The place is completely surrounded by cops, and they announce on the bullhorn, "Hey, we've got you completely surrounded. Come on out. It's useless. Just give it up. You can't win." And so, that's kakos. That's what's used for, like, moral evil. That was a bad thing. You don't go in there. You don't rob a store like that. Okay. The word that's used for Satan in the Bible, in the Greek, is poneros. Okay. It's a different word. It means evil, of course. But it carries with it a much more evil connotation. Imagine the same scenario. The guy goes into the convenience store. He tries to rob it. Police surround it. It's a hopeless case. He can't win. There's no way out. And so what this guy does, he's not kakos. He's poneros. He literally starts shooting as many people as he can, knowing he can't escape, knowing that the gig is up. But he's so stinking evil, he's seeing how many people he can take down with him. That's the word that is used to describe Satan. He knows he's headed to the lake of fire, folks. But this is who you're dealing with. He is so stinking evil. He knows he's the loser. He's lost. Jesus defeated him. But he's seen how many people he could trick and take them straight into the lake of fire to join him as well. Okay? And again, this is starting to come more and more open. This connection with the demons, and not just connection. The Bible says they're going to begin to worship the demons. You're going to see this massive surge. In fact, Anton LaVey, the founder of the Church of Satan, he says, we don't want to deal with this. He says, all religions are coming around to Satanism. We're in the throes of a new satanic age, and the evidence is all around us. All you have to do is look at it. But see, that's just it, folks. We don't want to look at it. We don't want to deal with the facts that even demon worship, not just drugs, is on the rise, and yet that's exactly what the Bible said would happen when you're living the last days. All you got to do is flip on your TV. And not just pay attention to the Middle East, but take a look at all this wicked behavior, the drugs, and the rise of the occult and demon worship. And folks, you better get prepared. That means Jesus Christ is coming back.
Amen to that. And hang on, we'll be back in just a moment with Pastor Billy Crone.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done. Get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden. All heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.
So you finally decided to start taking a vitamin supplement. Those chewables and tablets are fine if you don't mind paying for something that is only absorbed about 4 to 6%. However, a liquid supplement can have a 90% absorption rate if you choose the right one. Youngevity offers a wide variety of liquid supplements with a 90% absorption rate or more. Beyond Tangy Tangerine may be the best one ever invented. It starts as a liquid that is freeze-dried like those instant coffees into a crystal. Then all you have to do is add a couple of scoops to water. No refrigeration, no fuss, no mess. Not only do you get a complete multiple vitamin, Beyond Tangy Tangerine also has minerals, and it tastes fantastic. You'll want to drink it all day long. So the next time you reach for a vitamin supplement, reach for Beyond Tangy Tangerine from Youngevity. For more information or to order, call 1-800-991-8730. That's 1-800-991-8730 and ask about business opportunities.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Pastor Billy is simply saying that an awful lot of people just don't want to deal with it. They don't believe in Lucifer. They certainly don't believe that anybody actually would worship Lucifer or would pay homage to Lucifer. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we have a president. His name is Barack Obama. And certainly he was a disciple of Saul Alinsky, a man that... Activist, a political activist who certainly laid out a program for organizing various social movements. So did Hillary Clinton taught and used techniques laid out by Saul Alinsky. So both Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton laid out the techniques and taught the programs laid out by Saul Alinsky. We even get his book. You can get it from Amazon.com. I bought a copy. And, of course, it's called Rules for Radicals. And who is the book dedicated to in the front? Why, it's dedicated to Lucifer, the first rebel. Lucifer, the first rebel. This is the man who is the icon for both the president of the United States and for the woman who ran for president at the same time on the Democratic ticket. So understand, ladies and gentlemen, why we have real problems in America and the fact that most people really don't believe this or don't want to believe it is simply one reason we're in so much trouble today. Pastor Billy, go right ahead.
Well, again, it's right there out in the open. You can see it. How do you deny it? Yeah, it might be a tough cookie to swallow, but that's the reality. But again, I think part of the reason why it continues to escalate, even to the scale where it's in that much out in the open, is because, again, the statistic is 65% of people today in America do not believe in a literal Satan. And so he's getting he's having a heyday. He's just doing all kinds of stuff. Where he's, oh, nope, not real. Nope, nope, not real. And yet it's escalating on a massive scale. And the only place you're going to hear the truth, of course, is going to be from the Bible. And you say, well, that's going to be from the church. And, well, unfortunately, we have a 6-DVD set, volume 6 on the final countdown, that says, the Bible says, unfortunately, in the last days, the church is going into apostasy, and it's going to get bad. But there are still faithful pastors, still faithful churches that will expose this and talk about this. And that's why you also see Satanists are getting so bold, folks, that they're even going into churches, the churches that will preach the truth and let the people know what's spiritually really going on. They're going in there right now, and they're taking them out. Okay, I had to deal with, I think every church I've been a senior pastor of, I would say that, I've had to deal with spiritual issues. Just even recently here in Las Vegas, just last month. And there's a guy clearly demonically possessed, and he was just telling me right off the bat what these voices were telling him inside the head. And I was telling him about Jesus, and telling me, man, dude, you better repent now. You're being duped. And I mean, guys, full blown demonic possession. So, but of course, this stuff doesn't really happen. It's like, it's crazy. But the Satanists are going into churches, specifically the churches that are preaching God's truth. Okay. And again, we expose this on the study. Again, you're going to see the actual video clips of the former Satanists who admit this is exactly what they're up to. You may not want to believe it, but folks, it's going on and we need to deal with it. Okay. But let me share with you what they say, a couple different ones. One of them is, her name is Doreen. She's a former Satanist, a black witch. And she freely says, Christians are the Satanist's worst enemy. They're out to torment you. They're out to blackmail you. They'll even kill you. They even tried to kill me, she says, when she tried to come out and when she did come out of black witchcraft. And she says, as each member is initiated into the coven, they're commissioned to do a job. One individual's job may be to desecrate a church. And she says this, listen, some Satanists who were handpicked, the most powerful ones, were sent into churches to disrupt the meeting, and we stopped people from going forward when they asked the people to go forward and accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. Another Satanist said this. He says, if you're in a church where the Spirit of God is really moving and where the Word of God is really being preached and where prayer is really going up to heaven for the salvation of souls, listen. He says, then they, the Satanists, are going to regard you as their mortal enemy, and they're going to be out there trying to do everything they can do to destroy and to kill and to maim, because that is, of course, the nature of Satan, and it's also the nature of his followers. They will try to infiltrate your church. They will try and set up whispering campaigns against the pastor and the elders, and they may even try to seduce the pastor. He said, listen to this. He says, I was, in fact, trained to learn all the Christian jargon, the Christianese, the phrase like, hallelujah, praise the Lord, and do all the right things. He says, but I had no more an idea of Jesus being my Savior than a man on the moon. He sat there. He even joined people in. He was saying Christianese phrases, but he was a Satanist sitting right there. And let me give you just one more. His name's Glenn, and a former Satanist, in fact, a generational Satanist. And he said, listen, this is wild. He says, for 2 years, not just a one-time shot, just disturb trouble, not just for a couple weeks in a row or a couple of months. He said, for 2 years, I was involved in the Baptist church. And listen to what he was doing. He said, I was constantly complaining about the pastor's sermon being too long, being too dry, and sowing discord between the people and gossiping about others. And he says, here's why. Because if you can tear down the prayer foundation of a church, then you destroyed that church. And that's what every witch or Satanist plans to do when they go into a church, is to tear down that prayer foundation, and then the rest of the church goes quickly after that. Okay? And folks, we wonder why churches are falling apart. It's like, are we not even reading the Bible that we're preaching from? Paul clearly says not all of our battles are against physical flesh or flesh and blood. Okay, sometimes they're spiritual. Okay? Yeah, and we better wake up. Okay? It's on the increase. It's on the rise. And again, that's exactly what the Bible said is going to happen in the last days. Okay? But another aspect of the Bible says, speaking of Satanism, but also witchcraft, the Bible says, is going to be on the rise. And we expose this, okay? Witchcraft, just like Satanism, has done a masterful PR job. Their marketing is brilliant. Hollywood, unfortunately, once again, is helping them out. I remember when the Harry Potter films came out, the books, of course, so many Christian parents say, oh, no, it doesn't affect my kid. I'll get to that in one second. It's like, are you crazy? You're being indoctrinated to witchcraft, man. You let your kid do it. And saying, well, it helps them read. Well, what happened to C-Spot Run or Jack and Jill or something like that? What? Why do they have to read a book on witchcraft to get excited about reading? And but again, as much even Christian parents were in denial that it has an effect on their kids, I remember reading articles from Witch Coven, and they're literally with glee. And they're saying, like, basically, quote, this is the best free advertisement we could ever hope for. And so even they were admitted. But once again, people deny and act like the spiritual realm, 65%, is not real. But the Bible says that witchcraft is going to increase in the last days. We don't think it is because we don't call it witchcraft anymore, by and large. Okay, and all they've done, again, like Satanism, witchcraft has done a brilliant PR job. They've switched their name. Now, the new name for witchcraft, whether you realize it or not, folks, is simply Wicca. Okay, so plan it for what it is. When you see and hear the word Wicca, okay, it's old-fashioned witchcraft. That's all it is. They just changed the name and repackaged it, and now it's very seductive. And again, this is another thing that the Bible talks about in the last days in Revelation 9. The word there, pharmakeia, that we saw earlier, that means drugs or drugging, okay, also carries with it a drug usage that's fostered by the dark arts. So yes, it's drug usage, but it also means it's drug usage that, you know, of course, you know, witchcraft and Satanism, again, been there, done that, New Age encourages you to use, okay? And so again, we see that happening before our eyes, okay? Witchcraft, believe it or not, folks, even though most of us want to deny it, has already infiltrated pretty much every sector of society, even our thinking, okay? Let me give you some of witchcraft's beliefs, and you tell me if it hasn't been repackaged and got us to buy into a witchcraft mindset, okay? For instance, witchcraft believes that the entire earth is a living, breathing organism and is the manifestation of the mother goddess. Well, hey, wait a second, that sounds like the environmental movement. Yeah, the environmental movement, amongst other things, is indoctrinating people into old-fashioned witchcraft. Witchcraft says that the mother or female goddess is to be worshipped above all, not a male patriarchal god. Well, hey, that sounds like a feminist movement, doesn't it? Yeah, in fact, we expose this too. You look at the feminist movement, and certainly not only the founders of that, but the promoters of it even today, they clearly admit that this is their agenda, is to get rid of the male patriarchal god, replace it with the female one, which the Bible says is going to happen in the last days, Revelation 17, about the woman that rides the beast, the one world mystery Babylon harlot system, a female deity figure, is going to be working in cohorts with the Antichrist. We see that before very eyes. But feminism clearly meant, you look at the root, it's a spiritual root. It isn't just about equal rights, equal pay. Okay, it's about replacing the male patriarchal god with the female one. That's a whole other topic we deal with on the study. But that is witchcraft, okay? Witchcraft also says that truth is what is true for you, that there are no absolutes, which I always thought was funny when people say there are no absolutes. Just ask them, are you absolutely sure about that? Because that in itself is an absolute statement. So, but anyway, but that belief that what is true for you is true for you, whatever is true for me is true for me, which is rampant in our society, that's called relativism, okay? And little do people know that is a major tenet of witchcraft, okay? And then, of course, witchcraft says in order to gain this power, to connect with these gods and goddesses out there, you need to practice astrology and divination and incantation, psychic power, and speaking with the dead, which is called necromancy. And well, hey, wait a second. That sounds like all kinds of stuff that's being promoted on TV today, isn't it? Okay, things that were an abomination just a few generations ago, hey, they're being promoted. You got the old classic psychic hotline. You got that John Edwards crossing over. But that's chump change compared. I mean, what's the latest? One of the many latest today is that lady in New Jersey, the Long Island medium. And this is all occult stuff that we're being encouraged. Oh, this is great, man. I need to take part in this. And it's like, are you kidding me? That's witchcraft. And then, of course, thanks to movies and shows like Charmed and of course, with the Harry Potter series, and the books, the movies, and even, of course, what's the big one? Twilight, the whole Twilight series. Folks, it's witchcraft now, thanks to all this, has a whole new appeal, even for kids. But that's right. It doesn't affect kids, right? No, that's a lie. Okay, and we expose this again on our study. There's actual interviews done with kids after they were exposed to Harry Potter, and you tell me if it doesn't encourage them to further explore and get into and want to be into witchcraft. Okay, listen to this. After being exposed to Harry Potter, quote, listen to this. Dylan, age 10, said, "I want to go to wizard school and learn magic. I'd like to learn to use wand to cast spells. If I could go to wizard school," Mara, age 12, says, "I might be able to do spells and potions and fly on a broomstick." Jeffrey, age 11, said, it would be great to be a wizard because you could control situations and things like teachers. Catherine, age 9, says, I'd like to go to wizard school, learn magic, and put spells on people. I'd make up an ugly spell, and then it's payback time. Carolyn, age 10, says, I feel like I'm inside Harry's world. If I went to wizard school, I'd study everything, spells, counterspells, and defense against dark arts. Julie, age 13, how would you like your 13-year-old daughter to say something like this? Hey, I liked it. Listen to what she liked. I liked it when the bad guys killed the unicorn and Voldemort drank its blood. Oh, yeah, that's a great thing. Yeah, I think I'll stick to C-spot run. The books, another guy, age 11, said, the books are very clever. Listen to this. I couldn't put them down. When I was scared, I made myself believe it was supposed to be funny, so I wasn't scared. Yeah, I would agree. At least he's honest. The adults don't seem to be, but he's honest. They are very clever. And what they're doing is they're indoctrinating your kids into witchcraft. Okay? They admit it. Your kids admit it. They're encouraged. They're excited about it. They want to learn what they can on the internet. In fact, if you study and look at some of these websites promoting Harry Potter and the Disney thing, if you keep clicking around and you go to their links take them directly to witchcraft covens and how to further explore into the, quote, dark art. Okay? Folks, this is not a make-believe. This is happening. Okay? You can put your head in the sand, but this is what the Bible says is going to happen in the last days. It happens to be happening right now. Okay? And witchcraft, it's gaining momentum, folks. It's not just appealing to kids and environmentalists and feminists, but even psychologists are starting to use witchcraft occult techniques to treat their patients, okay? And Wicca, believe it or not, witchcraft, has now become, it's gotten so bad, folks, it's become an official religion of the United States Armed Forces. And just in Fort Hood, Texas, they've allowed, you can't close the prayer in the name of Jesus, Mr. Chaplain. Okay, but listen to what they allow. Approximately 100 witches have their own coven just in Fort Hood in Texas and with military approval. Okay? It's just crazy. Okay? And then if that wasn't bad enough, one of the male deities that's worshipped by those in Wicca is the horned god called Pan. Okay? And if you do the research in the ancient cult of Pan, the rites of passage included, get this, the use of drugs to entice the spirits, demons, to come. And if someone became possessed by Pan, and by the way, this is where we get our word panic from, resulted in just massive immorality and the need for immediate gratification, okay? And little do people know that Pan is also one of the universal symbols for Satan and the Antichrist, okay? It's crazy. It's happening before our eyes, and we act like, oh, no, this isn't real, and yet it's gaining ground.
Let me just comment, of course. If you haven't seen Pastor Billy's DVD set, certainly the final countdown, you need to. There are actually six sections to that. Each one has five or six DVDs in it. And with that, you'll see all sorts of video footage that verify everything he's saying. You'll find it the most fascinating experience just to sit, and it's just like being in a church, hearing Pastor Billy lecture. But then, of course, you'll see the videos that verify everything he says. It's called The Final Countdown. We do carry all six of them. We think they're vitally important in times like this. But you go right ahead, Pastor Billy.
Well, it's getting so bad that, and we share again on this, even this particular topic, we share what the pagans, the people involved in witchcraft and paganism admit. And they admit this. In one interview, this female pagan, she said the fear has gone out of the general public and the craft is more and more acceptable. Paganism has infiltrated the mainstream thought pattern of most Americans today and it's created a, quote, pagan revival. Listen to this. She says there are more people practicing true paganism, okay, and I say oftentimes even whether they realize it or not because of the way they've infiltrated our society, but there are more people, she says, practicing true paganism than there are practicing true Christianity. She says here's the reason why. Many people are seeking something apart from Christianity, and the thing that attracts young people is the power. It's the immediate power. Whenever you drink blood and you do these things, you gain supposedly incredible power. Okay, and it's all about getting what you want, and that's what, you know, of course, they promote, and of course, kids love to hear that, power, do whatever you want, get what you want. Of course, they're going to be seduced into it, and it says this, there says, we live in a kind of post-Christian era now, and people are moving towards a kind of neo-paganism, and the neo-pagan revival has proceeded so rapidly, and they have the cooperation of the media in getting their message spread. Okay? Folks, this is happening. It's happened before very eyes. You can sit there and join the 65% and say it's not real, but it's real and it's happening, and you better be prepared, but you also better realize this is exactly what the Bible said would happen when you're living in the last day.
And our guest has been Pastor Billy Crone. He's talking about his DVD series, The Final Countdown. Ladies and gentlemen, you're witnessing it. You're witnessing it at this time. We'll be back in just a moment to wrap up the program here at Radio Liberty.
Hello, folks. This is Steve Day, the director of Home for Health Lifestyle Center. And over the past years, we have been blessed by witnessing folks plagued by chronic illnesses gain restoration and get back their health after coming through our live-in Christian health retreat. Today, sickness and disease is everywhere. Cancer, MS, diabetes, and chronic diseases plague us. But there is hope, and Home for Health can help. We're here to help you in your time of need, and we would encourage you to go to the Home for Health website, www.homeforhealth.net. That's www.homeforhealth.net. Or you can call us today at 888-642-9644. That's 888-642-9644. Call Home for Health today and start your healing journey now.
Home for Health, truly do what you said. Being free of disease is real well. Home for Health.
There is a disturbing trend here in these United States that is progressing unnoticed and without constraint. From the Supreme Court to the smallest county seat, we have seen the judiciary make decisions which are more legislative than interpretive. Our founding fathers designed our three-part governmental system to have checks and balances upon each other. Each branch of the government has now taken it upon itself power that was never intended for it to have. The judicial branch in particular needs reform. We must pass laws which bring a renewed sense of justice to our nation's court system. I urge you to go to judicialreformnow.com. That's judicialreformnow.com. There you can find out what you can do to stem the tide of judicial malpractice. judicialreformnow.com.
Most men, when they reach 60 years of age, have urinary tract problems. They have to urinate frequently during the day, and they have to get up several times every night. What's the solution? Many men use a herbal product called Prostate Support. It contains saw palmetto and stinging thistle. It's available from Radio Liberty. Dr. Stan takes Prostate Support and recommends it. And thousands of men take Prostate Support every day because it relieves their urinary tract symptoms. If you would like to try Prostate Support, call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Once again, the telephone number for Prostate Support is 800-544-8927. And I suggest you call today.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Pastor Billy is simply quoting from a report talking about how the Satanists are coming into churches today. The best Christian you ever saw. They sing in the choir, they help out on everything, they even get into leadership positions in the church. And why are they there? They're there to disrupt the, disrupt the church and get rid of the minister if he's doing a good job. This is not imaginary. I saw this in the church I belong to, and suddenly, one of my great regrets in my life is that I didn't understand what was going on until it was too late. But ladies and gentlemen, this is not imaginary. I can give you example after example after example of fine Christian ministers who've been suddenly forced to resign from their positions because there were Satanists in that church. We are dealing with organized evil. Now, if you haven't seen Pastor Pilly's DVD sets, and as I say, there's six of them, the six parts 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, and 6. Each one has about 5 DVDs in it. Some of them have 6. You need to get them. It's called The Final Countdown. And it will simply change the entire way you look at the world. You can get them by calling us at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. The Final Countdown, Pastor Billy Crone. We recommend them to you. We think it's vitally important. And then, of course, if you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, which takes you into the background of the forces, geopolitical forces that work within our society today, and the fact that there really are secret satanic societies, that there really are people who worship Satan, why you need to get the Brotherhood of Darkness, either the book, the DVD, or so you can get the book DVD and CD at the Brotherhood of Darkness special, call us at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. And you need to help us get the information out. People certainly are looking for answers, and you're not going to understand what's going on today unless you understand that we have satanic forces working at the highest level of our government today and using the financial and military power of the United States to bring about a one world government. And they were, of course, also working to undermine Christianity. Why do you think they took God and prayer and the Ten Commandments and Christmas and Easter out of our schools and moral teaching out of our schools? Why do you think that one in every 33 American, somewhere between 1 and 31 and 1, 33 American adults is in prison, probation, or parole today? They've destroyed the moral fabric of this society. They knew exactly what we're doing. And unfortunately, the churches have allowed it to happen because we've been infiltrated at the highest levels of our churches, both Catholic and Protestant. In fact, the new Pope has been talking about the gay lobby working at the highest levels of the Vatican. You can certainly go to your search engine and type in a Pope talks gay lobby Vatican. You'll find it's true. Why would they have a gay lobby walking at the highest levels of the Vatican? Why, for the same reason they have the pedophiles there and certainly the homosexuals working at the highest levels of the Vatican. And if you haven't heard our 4 CD set, it's the secret wisdom, or I should say the wisdom of Malachi Martin, who was a Jesuit. He was a confidant of Pope John the 23rd. This is called The Wisdom of Malachi Martin. Malachi is no longer with us, but his heritage is here in this 4 CD set. You'll find it's fascinating. The Wisdom of Malachi Martin, talking about the satanic groups working at the highest levels of the Vatican. But don't feel bad. For the Catholics, we have them working at the highest levels of the Protestant church as well. We're involved in a spiritual battle, ladies and gentlemen, and most people have no idea what's going on. Remember, of course, that our President Obama, was a disciple of Saul Alinsky, and Saul Alinsky's book, Rules for Radicals, is dedicated to Lucifer. Get it? You can actually get it at the library, or I bought a copy. I just wanted to hold it in my hands and read it. So please pray for America, but pray for Radio Liberty. A land that's free. Let us all be grateful for a land so fair. As we raise our voices in a solemn prayer. God bless beside her and guide her through the night with a light from above, from the mountain to the prairie to the ocean, white with gold. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and illusion is usually king. But in the battle for the survival of Christian civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you of the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of a man I hold in the highest esteem. It's Pastor Glennon Caldwell, who brought me to the Lord 50 years ago, 51 years ago, and I will always be eternally grateful to him. Glennon, thank you very much for being with us this evening.
My pleasure, Stan.
Well, Lizzie, we were going to talk this evening about your book, Death Goes to School, and it's a wonderful book about what's going on in our schools today. So I want you just to pick this whole story up as you tell it in this book, a book that I think every parent should have and should read and understand why we're having so much trouble with our children today and why it is that the very structure of society is breaking down. Death Goes to School is the title. You pick up the story because you know it so much better than I do.
All right, perhaps you could give me a little time and I'll just set the stage for our discussion. It's an interesting title, I think, but sounds like it might be a murder mystery. And maybe I need to explain that. I have set the stage in the book by an example from the Columbine School tragedy. But more than that, more than just that violence and that death, I wanted to emphasize in the book really the death of morality, the death of spirituality, how the advocates of humanism and secularism, atheism, have infiltrated our schools and literally have killed all moral and spiritual standards and values. It's interesting at the very outset of the book that I refer to Harris Klebold, the two killers at Columbine. And Harris and Klebold were obviously very troubled boys. They called themselves mafia, trench heart, or trench coat mafia. And I think it was Klebold who had on his shirt serial killer. They were troubled, and that was obvious not only to the school, but that was obvious to their parents. And the most amazing thing is that Klebold and Harris, in the bottom part of the house, they were able to construct all of their weapons, prepare them, make all of their plans and preparations. And seemingly the parents were unconcerned. They didn't seem to even know what was going on, perhaps did not express real concern. So when they argue today that the problem was the control of guns, really the problem was the lack of control by the parents.
And of course, the thing is, of course, that we have created a situation. We have so many people with deep emotional problems, and some of them are violent. And you can't take the guns away. If you take the guns away from people, the criminal element will keep their guns. They'll get them one way or another. What do you do if you have a bad guy with a gun? Well, you need a good guy with a gun to protect those children. The children died there at Columbine because nobody could have a gun to protect them. They died at Sandy Hook because they passed a law saying guns were illegal, so there was nobody to protect the children. And nobody wants to talk about this. Basically, we've got a lot of deeply troubled people, and Klebold and Harris were two of them.
Yes, the amazing thing, too, when you come forward to the Newtown, Vermont tragedy, Here was once again a very troubled young man, obviously, even evidently from a broken home. And he was troubled, but his mother did not minister to his troubles, and even went so far as to have weapons, having guns available for him. So once again, and this is repeated over and over, that the control of guns is not the solution, but the solution is found largely by the parents, but beyond that by the churches and the pastors, and ultimately it boils down to a spiritual solution and the need for God in our schools. The trouble began, didn't it, Stan, when they undertook to remove God from our schools?
When they took God and prayer and the Ten Commandments and celebration of Christmas and celebration of Easter and moral teaching out of our schools, when they took out the ability to have discipline, when they had took out the ability to say there's right and wrong in their absolute moral standards, they laid the foundation for all the problems, not only in our schools, but in our society today. And they knew exactly what they were doing. The Supreme Court justices knew exactly what they were doing. That's a subject for a different evening. But basically, there was no basis in foundation, no basis in law for the Supreme Court decision. The Supreme Court justices, I honestly believe, knew exactly what they were doing. America is under attack, not from without, but from within. And if the good people aren't willing to speak out, then America, as we've known it, will soon become simply a remembrance of things past. Go right ahead, Glenn.
Yes, well, the problem really seriously began. We had wonderful public schools in the past. They had a good foundation with the old McGuffey reader and emphasis upon God and prayer in the schools. But fairly early in the 20th century, John Dewey came along with his theory of progressive education, in which he said that there were no absolutes, no absolute conduct or moral standards or spiritual standards, or he didn't even recognize a spiritual entity. And his emphasis was upon the fact that discipline was not in order, and so...
Hold the thought, we'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Glenn is simply talking about the influence of humanism in our society, and Sean Dewey and the others who said, oh, we can't have discipline in the schools. Ladies and gentlemen, you can't raise a child without discipline. They have to have discipline. It's logic that they would have discipline. The Bible talks about spare the rod and spoil the child. And they wanted to spoil the child. And that's why they took discipline out of our schools. They knew exactly what they were doing. And the fact that the churches didn't speak up, or simply that our religious leaders didn't speak up, that our politicians didn't speak up, and they said, oh, well, the Supreme Court says it's child abuse, and the psychologists say it's child abuse. Ladies and gentlemen, the greatest abuse to a child is not to discipline them, because they lay their life open for all sorts of problems. Go right ahead, Glenn.
Yes, well, I was emphasizing the role of John Dewey in progressive education and the fact that his disciples, those he taught, came along to teach others, and then the progression started until our schools are filled with those, with that view of no discipline, no standards, and no reality. And it has been a situation that has worsened until we feel like it almost is beyond repair.
I said, well, it really is, unless, of course, that we just start it all over again. Suddenly we have to come right out and say, look, this system is not working. The schools are not working. Suddenly there's a lawlessness. There's growing lawlessness in our nation. One in every three young black men, 21 to 31, is in prison, probation, or parole today. one in every three young black men, 21 to 29, is in prison, probation, or parole today. What does that say about the success of our educational system for blacks? And certainly one in every 33 adults is in prison, probation, or parole today. These are adult men today. It tells you a lot about certainly a society that is certainly being progressively destroyed from within, because we have no moral standards, and a nation cannot exist without moral standards. Go right ahead, Glenn.
Yes, well, it's true that we send our children into the public school system now, and it's as though we're turning them over to the enemy and subjecting them to the ungodly views that prevail. But, you know, you mentioned the failure of the churches, and I really lay the problem of families even, at the foot of pastors and churches, because the pastors fell prey to the damnable, and I use that strong language, view that perpetuated regarding the First Amendment, that there was to be a wall of separation between church and state, and they failed to recognize that there was a guarantee of the free exercise of religion. And so the pastors believing that, and I do give the pastors saying credit for the fact that they've endeavored to win people to Christ, and they have preached the gospel message, but they've majored about what God can do for them more than sometimes what is expected of them to be doing.
Well, I share your concern. Go right ahead.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's the problem that has concerned me so deeply as a pastor, and I deal with it regularly and have over the last 55 years of ministry repeatedly hearing pastors, well, we can't speak up because that's politics and there's a separation of church and state. And because pastors have not stood up, then we have turned the battlefield over to the enemy completely. It's interesting that they perpetuate, those who perpetuate so much humanism and secularism and atheism militantly, not that this isn't happening in the school, but in our society, those people represent a very small minority. Well, on the other hand, we have so many multiplied millions of evangelical Christians who hold to the scriptures. And then you add the fact that the Roman Catholics have good family standards, and the Mormons and so on. All of these multiplied millions, but they're sitting back with their hands folded, seemingly indifferent, permitting just this very small minority to overwhelm our society. And it's so frustrating for me to see this happening.
And of course, the thing is that the other side is organized. The Christians believe it's all in God's hands and they have no responsibility. And I think they do have a responsibility. I think Christians should be involved in the political process and trying certainly to use their influence to make a better society, but you can't do it. The reins of power are held by people on the other side, because the good people have done nothing, and men and women do become accomplices to the evils they fail to oppose. Men and women become accomplices to the evils they fail to oppose. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And Jesse Glennon's book is called Death Goes to School. I think it's a very, very important book, Death Goes to School, because it tells you what's going on in our schools today and how our children are being cheated. I don't think that any child should be in a public school today because, of course, it doesn't matter how good the teacher may be or want to do the right thing. Why, of course, basically, they're not allowed to do the right thing. They're not allowed to discipline. They're not allowed to talk about moral values. And this is the problem that we face today. And, of course, people look at the schools and they say, oh, well, we've got to put in more money. We got to have smaller class size. We got to have more training for our teachers. Certainly, if we maybe had not only a small class, but then the teacher had an assistant in the class and we spent more money for an assistant in the class. No, ladies and gentlemen, you could have a class with 50 children in it, but if the teacher has to be able to have discipline, and they have to have moral teaching, and we need to put God back in our schools. Go right ahead, Glennon. Once again, the number 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But when a nation turns against God, ladies and gentlemen, God turns against that nation, and I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just, and His justice is not going to sleep much longer. Go right ahead.
Yes. Yeah, you mentioned the fact of the availability of the book, and I'd just like to emphasize the importance of the book. This has grown out of about 3 decades of research and study, and germinated way back when there was an emphasis on the year of the child and the emphasis on child liberation and so on. And I just wanted to add that all of the proceeds for this book, if you order that from Radio Liberty, all of the proceeds go to Radio Liberty. And I encourage you to support the ministry by benefiting from the book as well.
And we appreciate that. And again, you can get the book by calling 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. But Glennon talks about all the fallacious and sophistic arguments that are used to say, oh my goodness, we're just going to take a little bit more time, a little bit more money, more training. No, ladies and gentlemen, the solution is simple. They don't want a solution. They want to destroy the soul of our children, and that's exactly what they're doing in public schools today. Go right ahead, Glenn.
Yes, talking about the role of the church and Christians in society and their responsibility, we need to look at the words of Jesus himself. As he said, you shall be the light of the world and the salt of the earth. And we're to be light to what? To the world. We're to be salt to what? We're to exert that kind of influence on the earth. We cannot live in a cesspool all about us. We cannot hope to preserve society. We cannot hope to preserve freedom. We cannot hope to preserve our children unless we have a decent culture in which they can grow, be instructed, and benefit. And so the church has a tremendous responsibility there, a primary responsibility, and they could have prevented this outlandish movement if they would have just done so. Interestingly, Stan, the major universities were all started by the Christians, by churches, and they've just sat by and let those major institutions become centers of wickedness, of atheistic, godless teaching and action and practices. And not long ago, one particular university, a friend of mine said in her state that they'd just given up on this particular university and the denomination had set them free. I thought, my goodness, if they cannot control it, then they ought to lock the doors. And
hold that thought. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY if you have a question or comment. 1-888-24 Liberty or 464-8295. Give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. Glenn, you go right ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but unfortunately the computer was saying that we had to. Go right ahead.
Well, I understand. Well, maybe to get back on the subject, I've ranted just a little bit in our discussion. But looking at the responsibility of the church and parents, thinking about the family, the Bible makes it absolutely clear that it is the parents' responsibility to train their children. And when they send them to school, that is a delegated responsibility. They are to maintain control. And if the school violates their beliefs, if the school fails in the assignment, then school boards should be replaced, curriculum that should be revived, and the people, the parents, the people have that possibility in their hands. They could organize. They could work together. They could elect school board members. And just another thing, I really frankly believe that pastors and churches should be teaching their people not only to be involved, but how to be involved. And how to work together, and what standards should candidates for office hold so that we have qualified people who stand for high moral and spiritual standards leading in all facets of our society.
I certainly agree with you, and basically, of course, I really believe one reason we're in so much trouble today is because the church has failed in its responsibility, because the ministers have not been told when they were in seminary that they have a moral responsibility, not just to preach the gospel, but to be the leaders in the communities. And, you know, 100 years ago, the ministers were the leaders in the community. We're making certainly positions on moral issues, but that seems to have been long since forgotten. Hasn't it?
Yes, it certainly has. And the amazing thing, though, with the mention of seminaries, this is not universally true with all seminaries, but just as the secular schools have been bastions of liberalism and secularism, and it's out of those halls of higher education that our educational system has been totally perverted. It's interesting, too, that the same thing has happened in the Christian realm, that the real liberalism and unbelief among Christians has come out of their seminaries, basically. And once again, with commitment to organization and perhaps a lot of other things, the Christian people, and I lay a lot at the hands, at the feet of pastors, of whom I'm one, but they have sat by and tolerated that they wanted to build greater and greater empires for their faith and so on, and that they have tolerated the liberalism in so doing. That's the terrible tragedy, Stan.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, I guess Pastor Glennon Colwell. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And Glennon was simply pointing out that one of the big problems, certainly as far as what we see today, is the ministers. And one of the problems with the ministers is certainly the seminaries are not teaching ministers. They have a moral obligation to be involved, not only certainly in the church, but certainly in the community. And they should be the leaders, the moral leaders of the community. Because, of course, we live in that community, and it's a if churches aren't leading the way, you can be sure the people on the other side will be. And remember, all that's necessary for evil to triumph is it for good people to do nothing. All that's necessary for evil to triumph is the good people and the ministers to do nothing, and the other side will certainly just flourish. And this is the problem we face, and most people have no idea what's going on. And we're just so busy being busy and living our lives. And, of course, the other side, people on the other side, are willing to take their weekends and willing to take their nights and willing to be involved because they want to make a change. But that change they're making is destroying this country and has destroyed the morals of this country and destroyed us economically. And most of our communities are head over heels in debt. And certainly we have very, very real problems, certainly at every level of society today, because the good people are just so busy. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I realize I really sincerely believe that a major cataclysmic event is going to come about. And America, as we know it, will cease to be the same nation. And what will you do then? What will you do then when certainly our monetary system has been destroyed and we have chaos in our streets? Who are you going to blame? And, of course, you want to look in the mirror, because certainly if we aren't involved, then we become part of the problem. And basically all that's necessary for evil to triumph is that good people do nothing, and men and women do become accomplices to the evils they fail to oppose. And, ladies and gentlemen, evil permeates every aspect of our society today. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. And go right ahead, Glennon, because we're talking about your book, and I'm doing all the talking, and I apologize. Please go ahead.
I've had my time. Thank you, Stan. It's interesting. You're talking about something cataclysmic happening to our country. I thought of the words of Billy Graham, who said that if we didn't change, God would have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah for destroying them if we're not to have judgment ourselves. And I can't say but that we will pay a price some way or another. And perhaps a part of it might come in the foolish management of our money today and the massive federal debt. Bible teaches very clearly that we are to be good stewards, that he has provided all good things, and we're to be stewards of those things. So really, the national debt itself and the waste, that's sinful. And pastors ought to be talking about those conditions while they deal with spiritual issues surrounding us.
I agree with you. Well, basically, as you know, I've studied the secret societies and covert organizations that rule the world for many years. And one of the leaders of this group is a man named Richard Haass. Richard Haass, H-A-A-S, he's the president of the Council on Foreign Relations. He's a member of the Trilateral Commission. If you've never seen their logo, go to their website, trilateral.org. And if you look closely, you'll see the three sixes joined together by an upside-down broken cross. That's also obviously has a, well, I wouldn't say it's certainly it's not a Christian message, that's for sure. But basically, Richard Haass, writing in Time magazine on the 10th of May, was talking about our financial situation here in the United States. And his statement was, it is a matter of when, not if, the whole system collapses. It is a matter of when, not if, talking about our financial situation. And he's actually talking about pulling our troops out of certainly out of this area over there in the Middle East, bringing them home, trying to get our financial house in order. And when Richard Haass, trilateralist, president of the CFR, talks it's a matter of when, not if, the financial house comes down, you better be sure that you have every bit of protection you can, because they know exactly what's going to happen in the subsequent 2 weeks. And one article by Zygmunt Brzezinski and another one by the former ambassador, I think either to Iraq or Afghanistan, all trilateral, all CFR, say in essence the same thing. We're in real trouble, ladies and gentlemen. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Give us a call. I would love to get your thoughts on what's going on today in the moral breakdown in America.
Let us swear allegiance to a land that's free. Let us all be grateful for a land so fair. As we raise our voices in a solemn prayer, God bless America. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with a light from above. From the mountains to the prairie, to the ocean, white with gold. God bless America.
Don't be late.
No.
White with gold.
Stan, I guess this evening is Glennon Colwell. Glennon is retired now, but 50 years ago, Glennon brought me into a personal relationship with the Lord, and I will be eternally grateful to him for that. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And we have a lot of wonderful teachers out there in the schools that. But, of course, they're not allowed to talk about God and prayer and the Ten Commandments and all these things which are so vitally important to create a healthy society based upon moral principles, because, of course, there are evil and wicked people within the Supreme Court who knew exactly what they were doing. Nobody wants to talk about that, but the letter from Danbury, Connecticut, or that Thomas Jefferson wrote to the ministers in Danbury, Connecticut, was not a justification at all for what they did. America had existed for 170 years. There was no wall of separation between church and state. But the members of the Supreme Court had an agenda. And unfortunately, what most people do not understand is what that agenda was. And you're seeing it being played out today as the very moral fabric of our society is being destroyed. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY 24 Liberty, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. And how do you feel about certainly what's going on in our society, what's going on in our schools? Glennon's book, Death Goes to School. And basically, certainly how certainly the humanists and John Dewey and a group of people had managed to undermine the very fabric of our schools by taking God and certainly discipline out of our schools. And suddenly you take discipline out of the school and you have moral chaos and anarchy, and you can't discipline your children today. Certainly the way that they should be disciplined, certainly the Bible talks about spare the rod and spoil the child, and that's worked very, very well for thousands of years. But of course, we're not allowed to do that today, and they know exactly what they're doing. That child, of course, will be do what they want to until the girls get pregnant, and suddenly life has been shattered, and the boys, many of them will end up going to prison, and many of them may spend a large segment of their life in prison because they were never allowed to have moral education. Well, our number is 1-888-24-6-4-2-9-5, and the book Death Goes to School, or we recommend it. It's available by calling 1-800-544-8927, and every parent should read this book. Go right ahead, Glennon.
Yes, I suppose this would be good to emphasize once again that all of the proceeds from the sale of this book will go to Radio Liberty, and I would encourage your listeners to support Dr. Stan and benefit yourself by securing a copy of the book. Now, in light of that, I wrote that book out of such deep concern, and I now have another book with the publishers, which I deal specifically with churches and pastors and their responsibilities. But it's interesting out of that concern that I enlisted Dr. Jim Garlow, a pastor of Skyline Church in San Diego area and founder of the Pastor's Rapid Response Team, where they're trying to draw pastors together to take a stand and do something about the conditions of society. And it's interesting in that foreword that Dr. Garlow said he discovered that God expected him to be a compass to the community in which he lived. And I suppose this is true not only for us who profess the name of Christ, but believe in reasonable moral standards, that we all stand the responsibility of being a moral compass. And certainly for Christians, it's not only the pastor, but the lay people who really need to stand in the gap. The prophet Ezekiel talks about the watchman on the wall, and the Bible says if the watchman gives an uncertain sound, then who will respond? And so that's the task of not only every pastor, but every Christian individual, and this is the reason I appreciate Dr. Stan's ministry so much, in that he gives himself so totally, so completely as a watchman on the wall. You don't have to agree with everything that I say or he says, but know that we desperately are striving to retrieve and reform and revive our country. We so desperately need a new awakening of the people to the truth.
Well, people have no idea what it would be like living in a country where, of course, there was no freedom. And yet, of course, you'll either be ruled by God or you'll be ruled by tyrants. It's just the way that it is. And the thing is, of course, the reason that they took God out of our schools is because there are people who wanted us to be ruled by tyrants. We're moving certainly towards all power being centralized, the central government. They're listening to every one of your conversations. Oh, it's all about terrorism. We're protecting you from terrorism. That's why we have to listen to all of your telephone conversations and record them. We have to certainly, and ladies and gentlemen, they're all listened to now. I'm not saying that they're all permanently recorded, that they don't have enough people to listen to them all. They're all listened to by computers, and the computers then will record unusual words or phrases, and if those are then, they have somebody listen to it. And when we have certainly the head of the NSA go before Congress just today and deny that that's true, he's simply a liar, a bald-faced liar, and was asked, is it possible to flip a switch and listen to these conversations, and he said no, and he was simply lying. And then he had the audacity to call Snowden, Edward Snowden, a traitor. Ladies and gentlemen, these people have violated our laws. They know that there's no real threat from terrorism. If there were, we'd be having all sorts of explosions in our malls all across the country. Look what's going on over in Iraq today. They kill 40 or 50 people over there every day with car bombs and explosions. Why do we have it here in America? Oh, the NSA is protecting us. Well, what are all these terrorist threats? Would you mind describing them? Well, that can't do that. That's confidential information. We can't tell you the people. Just trust us. They're not listening at all to the conversations. They're simply lying. We've been telling you this for years at Project Echelon. Go up on the internet and look up Project Echelon and PRISM. And it's well known, but of course they control the media. As a result, most people don't understand. Everything's in place for a dictatorship. Everybody has a number. They have their cameras every place. They're not there to track criminals. They're not there to track certainly terrorists. They're there to attract you so they can follow your activities. Certainly they have dossiers on every American citizen. They have a record of everything you buy with a check, everything you buy certainly on the internet, everything you buy with a credit card, either Visa or MasterCard. They know exactly what you're doing. They're monitoring you through the fusion centers where they correlate your various dossiers from all of these groups, and basically they're able to watch people through drones. Now they have them just as small as a mosquito, and yet they can come into your house and listen to you and watch you. And you say, why would anybody want to do that? Well, why do you think they wanted to kill 12 million Christians suddenly in Germany? Why did Adolf Hitler kill 12 million Christians? Why don't we ever talk about the 12 million Christians they killed? And we want to read about it. A book called Warrant for Genocide. It starts out talking about the 6 million Jews, and it just casually mentions they killed 12 million Christians, but we never talk about that, or the fact that the whole Nazi movement was well-financed from the United States all during the war, and that Prescott Bush was indicted for Nazi war crimes for funding the Nazis in 1942. Prescott Bush was indicted for helping the Nazis in 1942. I bet you never heard that through the regular channels. Well, my telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But everything is in place for an authoritarian society. Right now, we have a caller. I think we have Bruce. And hi, Bruce. Bruce is calling from Spokane. Bruce, do you have a question or comment?
Well, I do. First of all, you know, the comment on the surveillance is that there are electronic dossiers on everybody, and they can virtually instantly connect a dossier on anybody. So if you get arrested, they would happen to have all the information on you, and it's all electronic, which means it can be altered at will at any time, too. Then I want to comment furthermore on what your guest was talking. I'm one of the tens of millions of people that have left church, and it's not that I've left Christianity at all. I've left church because it does not subscribe to the tenets of Christianity anymore. And no matter how many times you confront the pastor or the lay person and point out the things that they that they need to be paying attention to, they do not listen. And most of them aren't even registered to vote. We have less than a third of them in the so-called, you know, self-identified evangelical community that are registered to vote. And very few of them turn out to vote, and they're far too lazy to take the time to study what the issues or the people are in being elected to office. So myself, and I'm certain quite a few millions of other people have left it. Now, he speaks at school. Your guest speaks at school. Every church that I see that I pass by, 6 days a week, that parking lot is virtually empty. And yet they send all their children to public school to have them wring out and tear out the last vestiges of a Christian principles in those children. And when you talk to the preacher about that and say that all of their children should be in that church and schooled in that church, they flood you with the questions, well, who'll teach? Who'll do this? They put up a stonewall of excuses, and yet, as the Bible says, if they follow God's principles, God will provide.
You're absolutely right. Glennon, would you like to comment on that? Because I will tell you, Bruce, that my minister, Glennon Caldwell, organized a Christian school at his church, and eventually they built a building for it, and it's still operating. Is the school still going, Glennon?
Oh, yes. The school is going great. The enrollment is fine. We have a very fine Christian curriculum, a very fine Christian faculty, and a majority of our children of those grades are enrolled in the school. I really would have to disagree with the caller quite a bit. I think it would be it's a great mistake to abandon the church. And perhaps to accuse it of its great failure. I agree with him of their lack of the involvement in voting, but that really is systematic of our own society, our people, generally speaking, church or otherwise. We don't know anything that's going on, self-imposed ignorance. And I guess when the good conservative people leave the church, they maybe weaken the message that it should be perpetuating.
But don't you think, certainly Bruce is just saying he gets so frustrated with it because the minister won't do anything and suddenly he just gives all the reasons why nothing can be done. What should Bruce do if he was still in the church? How should he address the issue of the minister who's saying, well, you know, it's not my responsibility, you know, gives all the reasons why that he shouldn't or the church shouldn't be involved? What would you say to him from that point of view? Because that's as obviously his frustration.
Well, there's no difficulty in networking within the church with other members of like concern. Here are people who are concerned for the Christian message, for the message of God's Word, of the Bible. And when you are fellowshipping with those kind of people, then you can network with them, you can encourage them, you can share with them how to be involved, you can cooperate and work together. But when you isolate yourself from them, then you cut off that avenue of ministry completely.
Okay, Bruce, we have something else you'd like to say, because of course it's a two-way
street. I understand that argument. It's a darn good argument to say the least. However, I have to ask my willingness to expend that amount of energy and time again and speak to get, just the concrete walls and not the human beings that have an open heart. And, for example, we have a church that is not too far from me that 15 years ago cost over $10 million to build. It's a huge church, tremendous congregation. But like I say, 6 days a week, the parking lot's empty, and they have no light or salt to the community. And that's the concern. I'm not willing to spend my time with Deadwood anymore.
Well, I hope that you are talking to people and trying to get the information out among the Christians.
Well, I do.
We need, obviously, you are a man who has leadership capacity, and I hope you're doing everything you can to reach others, to try to get them to understand what's going on. And basically, of course, if you could get a minister like Glennon Caldwell was, and I was privileged to attend his church. He was a member of the city council there, and even though the newspaper would constantly attack him, he was a minister. He was on the city council trying to do what was right for the community. I was lucky to have him as a minister. I wish you had a minister good. Like that.
We have a minister here that is running for city council, and I think the man is bold enough and brave enough, and the newspaper has already attacked him before he's even reached the primary.
Bruce, maybe you ought to think about going to his church. I think he needs all the help he can get. And
all right. Well, thank you very much.
God bless, and thanks very much. I understand your frustration. Bye-bye. Okay, we're just getting it down and sitting on time. My telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-2295. But at least we have a voice up there in Spokane, and we do have a lot of people there that certainly are aware of what's going on. I hope that they'll back this minister who is going to be running for city council, assuming he's going to act responsibly. Glennon, what are your thoughts for our listeners, a parting thought?
Well, maybe in responding to the caller, it is a real mistake to abandon the church. There are so many very fine churches, and they really are. They may not be doing what they should be doing in society and in the realm of politics and government and so on. But
hold the thought.
Yeah.
Glennon, you go right ahead.
Yeah, I'm just saying, in spite of those failures, they still preach God's word. They minister to people. They reach out and draw people to Christ as Savior. They minister to families and build up the families and teach them. And, of course, this brings us right back to where we started, and that is that parents have failed. And the parents need to assume their responsibilities, a God-given delegation of theirs to train up a child. And not only that, but when they have children, to bring them to Christ at an early age, get them involved spiritually as the children of God, as born-again Christians. Teach them discipline. And, you know, our whole society, our dear friend, and I appreciate his concern, but I think that this kind of attitude that permeates so many is self-destructive. And we need to pull together in the good things that we can. Can do. It's interesting that parents have fallen prey to the teaching or the emphasis on mainly from unbelievers that they shouldn't bring their children to Christ, that they shouldn't urge them toward faith at an early age. They should wait until they're old enough to understand. And that's a lie from the devil, because we should be forming, parents should be forming the lives of their children. And when we get to the final analysis of things, Dr. Stan, that is the only real hope for the future of our country and our families and our people.
I concur with that. And just the one thing is that if you don't like the minister, well, you should try to find another minister at another church who really, of course, will be willing to speak out on the issues and will be willing to take a leadership position. I'm sure there's ministers up there that would do it. It just takes a little time and effort to find one that really not only preaches the gospel, but lives the gospel as well. Glennon, God bless you. Thank you so much. It's such a pleasure to have you with us here on the program.
Thank you. My privilege.
Good night. God bless.
Good night.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here, and I hope you enjoyed the conversation with Glennon Caldwell. I recommend his book very strongly, Death Goes to School. Death Goes to School, you can get it by calling 1-800-544-8927. It's a book that every parent should read. Death Goes to School goes into what's going on in our schools today and why so many of our young people have serious emotional problems that will be with them most of their lives. And if you'd like to get the book, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. And then, Chris Sidney, I would point out, if you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you should get it. If you haven't heard my talk on Agenda 21, The Covert Plan, it will help you to understand and begin to connect the dots and understand what is really going on in the world today. And I say this without hesitation. I believe we're moving towards a cataclysmic event. I don't know what it is. I don't know whether it's going to be financial. I don't know whether it's going to be some sort of a major weather change. It could very well be a war of some sort. It could be an EMP attack. It could be all sorts of things. It could be a major epidemic. It could be a major disease, because they do have the ability to spread diseases today. And they talk about, as the if we could only spread a disease once in every generation, and we could wipe out enough people so people could have as many children as they want to without the world becoming too full. There are all sorts of things that can happen, but I will tell you one thing, and that is that they know that they cannot continue doing what they're doing with the finances, basically. If they continue pouring the money into the society, sooner or later, why, they'll get runaway inflation. If they stop pouring money into the society, why, the bond market is going to collapse, the stock market will collapse, and the whole house of cards will come down. So basically, they really have no choice but, well, to precipitate a major crisis. That's how they got us out of World War II. And if you don't believe that was precipitated, you need to understand that American corporations operating in Hitler's Germany were building the weapons for them starting back in 1936. And if any of you doubt that, I have a letter I found among Colonel House's papers at Yale University there from Ambassador William Dodd to Colonel House in 1936 asking, why are American corporations here building the weapons for the German military? There's no money to be made. They can't get any money out. Why are they building weapons? Nobody wants another war. We just got through with another war. And because William Dodd didn't understand, they wanted a war. That was the only way out, certainly, of the economic problems we were having at that time, and of transforming the world. And of course, then carrying out the terrible, terrible Holocaust, and it was all funded in large part by American banks, including Brown Brothers Harriman, headed by Prescott Bush. Go up on the internet and certainly look up Prescott Bush, Nazi indicted for helping Nazis. Prescott Bush indicted for helping Nazis. Find out what I'm telling you is true, and then we hope many of you will want to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters and help maintain our network of over 50 outlets every week, where we are able to tell people the truth, the information they're not going to get from other channels. But quite frankly, we need your help. We need your support. So give us a call, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927, and join the Radio Liberty family of supporters. And basically, if you do, you'll get our four best CDs of the month, you'll get our monthly newsletter. But more than that, you'll be helping us do what we do, and that is, of course, to try to get people to understand what's going on. If you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to get it. And certainly, if you haven't heard our CDs, our four CD set, or our talk on the threat of an EMP attack, you need to get it, and you need to start making your plans accordingly. And then we ask you to pray for America, to pray for revival, but please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. And we'll be back in just a moment here to wrap up the program.
Bye, Daddy.
Bye, Dad. Don't be late.
No. White with God bless.
Today, are you shocked? Were the bankers right and that the price of gold was going to drop? Yeah, it looks like it. $1,374.50 is where it is now. $1,374.50. Markets are up, though. The Dow is up, and many of the European markets are up. Happy days are here again for them, but gold continues to tank down to where Goldman Sachs said it would be, around $1,250. How did they know? They are so smart. Well, if you don't understand now, there is an agenda behind nearly every single thing that we see. I wouldn't be surprised if these last three incidents that have been reported aboard aircraft are not some type of agenda also. Have you heard about the man who was screaming and yelling that the NSA was after him and that he was being shipped back and from Abu Dhabi, and they were going to take him into custody in New Jersey? Well, I don't know that that wasn't true. Incredible. The changes that are coming about so fast. Now, if you have heard the defensive position of the president today, well, if you don't